Shop the President's Day sale at Grand Appliance for unbeatable appliance deals and a hassle-free buying experience that includes fast delivery, expert installation, and personalized service from start to finish. Save now on top brands like LG with top-load washers starting at $5.99 and counter-depth max French door refrigerators starting at $18.99. Learn more at grandappliance.com or one of Grand's local showrooms in Indianapolis and Lafayette. That's Grand Appliance, appliance experts since 1930.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We are down with the King topic of the day. A couple things for you. We started the show talking about the difference in building a team, the way the Mets have done it, which is value in the rotation and then going big in the lineup, versus the way the Yankees have done it, which is going big in the rotation and spending a lot of money on specifically their top three pitchers, Cole, Fried, and Carlos Rodon, and which way we would go. You know, the other element, BT, that we could add is Aaron Boone. The news of the day, he gets an extension. So now, as Boyle just mentioned, he will be here managing the New York Yankees, or is at least contracted to manage the Yankees through 2027. So a couple things there. But yeah, we started about the lineups and the different way that the Mets and Yankees have built their team. And I think the Yankees, I would build it the way the Mets have, with value in the rotation, trying to build a lineup. I think the Yankees right now, especially without Stanton, a little thin in that lineup.
I think the Yankees lower third is this thin. I think the Yankees are a little thin from the right side. We've talked about that. I think the Mets rotation is a little bit thin, made thinner by the injury to Montas. And now maybe the Yankees, at least perceptually, have an easier path to navigate some of these light spots because the American League is weaker than the National League and the American League East, maybe outside of the Red Sox and maybe a little bit of the Orioles. Where's the real threat coming from? Whereas in the Mets' own division, you might have two or three of the best teams in baseball with the Braves and the Phillies, depending upon how things go. Both teams are imperfect, but both teams have nice ceilings, and I think it's fine. I know that we all want to, we want to just roll out that fully loaded 1 through 9, 2-3 all-stars in the rotation, stud closer, stud setup man, like back in the day, McDowell, Orozco, whatever. I understood. But there's also enough recent evidence here, Sal, whether it's Hill, whether it's Weaver, whether it's Jazz from the Yankees, whether it's Vientos or Iglesias for the Mets a year ago, where in baseball, unlike any other sport, maybe hockey, but definitely not the NFL, you need a quarterback, and certainly not the NBA, you need superstars. Baseball, unexpected stories can emerge, number one. And number two, you got the deadline. I think both teams will be active if they have to be.
So let me ask you, we could have our different ways of how we would value a team. And by the way, years ago, I was with the way the Yankees are currently doing it, right? Just give me a DH who could go out there and mash. And they have that in John Carlos Stanton. Forget versatility, flexibility. I want the DH. Give me the loaded up in the rotation with Cole and Fried, and I'll take my chances. I just think that that way is now antiquated, and I'd rather spend in that lineup and invest in the lineup and figure it out with the pitchers. But is that theory flawed in the postseason? Regardless of the recent results here, which we've seen, and the Dodgers winning it last year, where it wasn't like they were loaded in the rotation. It was more so the lineup. But regardless of that, do you still think going into the postseason, you'd rather be set up the way the Yankees are, with no doubt about it, game one, game two starters?
Well, you know, it's amazing. They were kind of set up that way last year because they had a 5-0 lead with Gerrit Cole, and they forgot how to catch the freaking baseball. So, again, not to lean on the old cliche, the randomness of baseball, the unpredictable nature of baseball, but it's really true. Whereas the Mets, they really pieced together some impressive starting pitching, unlikely starting pitching. But you look at the aggregate score from the Dodgers series, and the Mets got pasted where they gave up 8, 9, 10 runs a bunch of games where that starting pitching abandoned them, and they didn't really hit as well. And the Mets were hitting for the majority of the postseason here, certainly in the first couple of the series. So I think I prefer I prefer where there's fewer holes, and I think right now, and this is what I said to Sal when we started this at 10, I said, look at the Yankees, and I certainly grant you, and grant anybody who thinks the Yankees lineup's a bit light, but I think the Yankee pitching from 1 through 12 or 1 through 13, not just the starters, are going to give the Yankees an opportunity to win even when the bats are light and maybe even when the defense kicks it around a little bit, though they should kick it around a lot less this year, and if not, that's a big problem. Whereas, you know, and I do think the Mets lineup is a little thicker, if you will. I do. I think there's fewer dead spots, but I'm not so sure, especially with the six-man rotation and Montas, who I don't even like anyway, I'm not so sure that the Mets don't find themselves in some situations early where it's 5-1, 6-2, 4-0 early, and maybe even a good lineup is not good enough early to mitigate some early deficiencies that the starters put them in.
And I think you bring up an excellent point, and even your example of last year, the disparity between the Dodgers and the Mets, while I do believe that the Mets have closed the gap with the Dodgers, specifically offensively, I mean, is the better way to beat the Dodgers to have a lineup that's going to be comparable to what the Dodgers have?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather have the pitchers with the potential to go out there and shut them down?
I think you need both, because I think if you don't have both, you won't win. Now, again, that randomness, you never know. But
if you had to have one, like for me, even though I'm saying that I would build a team the way the Mets have with the value in the rotation, come postseason,
I'd say pitching for the Mets this year. You know why? Because the Dodgers rotation, if they stay healthy for once, is going to be lights out.
All right, so the Mets don't...
Meaning even good hitters are not going to crank out 8-9 runs in October against that Dodger staff. So I'd rather have somebody that's going to give me some zeros and give me a chance to win a 3-2, 4-3, 3-1 kind of game.
Right, so the Mets might not stack up against the Dodgers rotation-wise, but line up okay. And the Yankees don't stack up with the Dodgers, at least on paper going in, especially without Stanton. They, like, look, if everything goes well from Dominguez,
Volpe... No, they don't
Volpe,
stack up
well,
the lineup.
Okay,
there's no way.
Well, I'm saying if Dominguez, Volpe,
with the Dodgers?
Wells,
no, not now.
If those guys reach their full potential, maybe they're at least in the conversation. But, yeah, their lineup does not stack up with the Dodgers. However, their pitching does. I think I'd rather have the pitching in a short series against the Dodgers, hoping that a pitcher or two could get hot, shut their hitters down, and do enough offensively, whereas the Mets may be built better for the regular season, oddly enough, with their formula now. And then once you get into the postseason, the better teams are going to hammer their starting pitching just like they did a year ago.
Okay, so let's forget about October for a second, and let's go to mid-ish to late-ish September. The kind of series, maybe not against the Nationals, but the kind of series that Cohen was complaining about with the attendance the other day when we played his press conference here on the show, right? And let's take a similar series for the Yankees. Let's not assume the Yankees have an 8 or 9 game commanding lead. Let's say they're in a division race and the Mets are in a division race. Now, it's not like the World Series or even the start of the postseason, if you have a good enough record, where you can kind of reset the rotation. It is what it is. So let's say Manaea pitches the third game of a series in Pittsburgh to wrap up in middle September. And let's say that Cole pitches the last game of a series to wrap up in Seattle. And now the Yankees have the Red Sox and the Mets have the Braves or the Phillies, but Manaea and Cole can't pitch. How do you feel about the rest of those series going? Do you like the Senga, Peterson, maybe Montas, whatever? Or do you feel better from a Yankees perspective of a heel...
Freed,
obviously, and maybe
two.
Even Clark Schmidt overall. That's an easy answer.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, the pitching is always appealing to me to get me there, to get me through some rough patches where either we have injuries in a lineup, and I say we, I mean just we, like both as baseball fans, not me.
Right.
I'm not on the Yankees. But I do acknowledge that if you don't have the requisite sticks and enough arms, you're not beating the Dodgers. Neither team's going to beat the Dodgers.
It's what makes the
if
Dodgers,
they don't have balance.
It's what makes the Dodgers so appealing on paper, or so dangerous, because they have seemingly loaded in all areas. But I like the conversation of how I would build a team. Years ago, I was on record as saying I would not trade Matt Harvey straight up for Mike Trout. This is like 10 years ago, because I valued that pitcher. And now look, we're going back 40 years, but Oral Hershiser dominated the 1988 postseason. One pitcher.
Broke a record. Remember
okay.
that?
So one pitcher. Now, maybe that's the outlier, but we've also seen other pitchers.
Mike Scott.
Madison Bumgarner. We've seen more recent, like we've seen pitchers dominate in the postseason before. Yeah, Verlander. So the Astros doing it with both pitching in. Obviously, you need some kind of balance of both. But if you're looking to slay the dragon, even with the way the sport has evolved to where I would favor building with a lineup, I still think come postseason time, the best shot to beat the Dodgers this year in the postseason is going to be what the Yankees have with Cole, Fried, and Heel.
So this is interesting. And the other news that broke during the show is that Boone gets an extension.
Yeah.
Now, you heard, I am fascinated to hear from Yankee fans who are reacting to this news. Like, I don't think that we can just assume that every Yankee fan is as good with it as I am. Now, you guys have your own opinions, and of course we'll give you a chance to get into it, 888-808-1019. If you're not a Boone believer, understand this, at the most basic level, now I still don't think the Yankees would have won the World Series, even if they got back to L.A., Dodgers were better, but if Judge catches the ball, if Torres does his job, if Nestor does his job, if Cole and Rizzo do a better job on that ground ball at the first, Yankees win that game, and they probably rout the Dodgers, you know, 5-0, 6-1, 7-2, whatever it may have been. And suddenly, you got a tight, deep World Series against a prohibitive favorite. So, if you're not thrilled or just straight up unhappy, maybe more specifically with Boone getting the contract, I want to know why. I need to know why myself. Why? Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know why you think
from
people,
Yankee fans.
You think people are not happy
I
with that?
I bet you there's a decent amount of Yankee fans that didn't want to hear this. Yeah. I don't think they're surprised, but I guarantee they're not as okay with it as I am. And I'm happy. But I like Boone as a manager.
Manage as a lame duck this year after getting to the World Series last year, and then if they don't get to the World Series and win a World Series, you're going to fire him? Like,
No, this is the only move.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just mean like more the prospects of Aaron Boone, you know, unless he gets fired before the end of the 3 years, of Aaron Boone being the Yankee manager for almost the next half decade minimally. I just think it's foolish to assume that Yankee fans are digging it the way I am. I just don't think that they are.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really think about that because to me it's just like, what do you think? You're going to fire the guy? Now, I know every fan base wants their manager fired, especially year 3, 4, 5. Oh, he didn't win a World Series. What good is he? I think you could knock Boone and criticize Boone as we have, as I have. There's still some things he's got to prove in the postseason. I think he needs to elevate his team in the postseason. Where last year you could say, well, he put him behind the eight ball in game one with some of the decisions. He admitted that himself. So we're not saying anything new here. At some point to win a World Series, you got to map it out the right way, push all the right buttons, and get your team over the hump. Maybe this is going to be the year. Maybe not. But I think Boone has done a really good job since he's been here. And I don't think any manager should be managing in a lame duck situation.
It's not good for anybody.
And they couldn't extend him just one more year. If anything, I would have extended him 3 years.
So you did say that.
Four total, and then what? What's the worst that could happen? If it goes sideways in 2 years, which is not going to happen, then you make a change. But I've never faulted for any of the Yankees' shortcomings in recent years, and there have been plenty. I never faulted Boone. He could have been better in certain spots, sure, and I think he's learned on the job. I faulted more the roster construction or the lack of player performance.
That's what I point to as well. Now, the Dodgers were, again, prohibitive favorites, and he was, listen, we had him in studio, and he had kind of mentioned this before anyway, but he certainly doubled down and gave us more of a lengthy explanation. You know, he would have reconsidered what he did with Cortes at that point. Maybe go with Luke Weaver more. We talked about this, right? So that was a tactical mistake, which I agree. It was a mistake to go to Cortes. I did not like that. I didn't like it in real time when I saw him coming out of the pen, and I certainly said so the next day on the air. But if somebody can point to me the year that the Yankees underachieved, meaning they lost to a team that they were supposed to beat in the playoffs, I'm all ears. Because the list has zero teams on it.
By the way, if the Yankees lost to the Royals this year...
That's different.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm saying if they did, we would have been saying he should be fired. I'm sorry, that would have been the case.
I get it. I think it would have been a very different tone.
Yeah, you can't survive losing to the Royals in the postseason. But he didn't, and there was pressure on him. In a year where he knew that there was only 1 year left on the deal, in a year where the Yankees were the favorites in the postseason, in the American League at least, you had to have success in the first couple rounds. And they did. And he was rewarded, I think rightfully so. BT and Sal. And by the way, we have official word from Aaron Boone. I don't know if it's out there yet. Have you heard back from Booney?
I have not checked my text messages yet. Yes, I got a text for... Yes. Very much appreciating the sentiments. Just a thank you and some other stuff.
Why, I said congrats.
So did I.
He said thank you.
Yeah, same here. He did respond to me as well.
Official on the record.
I wonder, what is he like? Is he watching Dominguez on the tee right now? He's got his phone in his back pocket, the pinstripe pants. What are these two knuckleheads want?
He's counting all that cash. Wait till the next text. I really am holding off. I do want to be like, oh, so how's Soto looking? Oh, sorry, wrong number. Come on, dude.
Are you? You know what? He's got a good sense of humor. I think he'll actually play along with it. Yeah. He's He's a guy's guy. That doesn't mean that he's the manager for the next 20 years. He's a good dude. Doesn't mean he's the manager for the next 20 years. Yeah. But he's the kind of guy that would laugh at that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's got a good sense of humor. And all kidding aside, when we need to criticize him, we will.
Always.
And I think he would be the first one to hold himself accountable, as he did for the decision. Either way, congrats to Aaron Boone, and he'll be here for another 3 years. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ralph is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Ralph?
Well, you want to call 2 years a reward. I guess you can, Sal. But, I mean, if they're so enamored with this guy, why not give him the three-year deal, the conventional three-year deal? Let him go like that. And, you know, it's a slight. I know we're dealing with such big money that it's hard to even say the word, but it's kind of a slight to give a guy that's been with you through the thick and thin 2 years. I don't agree with that.
I'm with you, Ralph. I think it should have been one more, but it is two on top of this year. So it is three in total.
You're right.
25, 26, right 27.
That. Yes, you're right about that. Let me get on to the other. You know, it's very.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Very hard to define what makes a team these days because, you know, in the 70s, it was more or less power, I think. In the 80s, speed and defense. Today, it's less definitive. I don't know how to build. If I was at the helm, I would not know how to build a team in today's 2025 baseball. I think that the starting pitching has been devalued to such an extent that it's almost inning by inning. Who are you going to throw out there? Who has the freshest arm? So on and so forth. That it's very difficult to build a team through pitching first the conventional way, which we've always done, and then you know, fill in your lineup. I don't know which way to go, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have to make a decision one way or another, Ralph, and thank you for the call. Certainly they do. We could give our opinions on it. It is tough. It's not easy. Obviously, the answer is, yeah, you want some balance. You want to be loaded in both areas. I personally have changed my thinking, BT, and evolved to the point where, and it's not just because it's the Mets. I wish the Yankees were building the team this way, and I could side with them. It has nothing to do with that. I value what the Yankees are doing at the top of the rotation. I want to see it work for them. I just don't think that that's the best way to do business now, investing a lot of money in the pitching, which is so up and down and so fragile year to year, the injuries and all that stuff. So I like the way the Mets are building a ball club. I also need to see it work. In the postseason specifically, I saw it work getting there against all odds when we weren't counting on anything from that underwhelming, to be nice, rotation a year ago. So I believe it can work, but I don't know about in the postseason. Are the Mets starters going to be able to shut down Atlanta? Are they going to be able to shut down the Dodgers, those high-octane offenses, come postseason time? I'm not so sure.
See, but I don't think you have to shut them down. That's where I kind of meet you in the middle here. I think it's more, that's why, you know, 1 through 12, 1 through 13, depending upon how many arms you carry. I would say, because I think that the Mets offense, you know, if they're a playoff team, and they should be, is going to, you know, Soto's going to hit a three-run bomb, Pete's going to crank one, the Entos, Lindor, they'll score enough runs. I don't mean they're going to paste everybody, but they'll score some runs, so I think it's more about, okay, well, what happens when it's a 4-3 game or a 5-4 game in the sixth inning? I know what you mean about the starters. I think more of my concern would be, do they have enough competent arms to bridge together 9, 10, 11, 12 outs from the middle frames deep into the game? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just about the starters.
Yeah, well, I mean, generally in the postseason, you would think that your best starters. See, that's what I'm saying in my mind. To Ralph's point, it's confusing because one way we thought about it the whole time we were watching baseball in our whole lives, like, the best starting pitcher is going to go 7 or 8 innings, and the bridge is short. It's what made the Yankees great all those years in the dynasty years where you just had that bridge. Just get to, you know, Wetland,
even
Rivera,
Mendoza or yeah, Ramiro Mendoza.
They had that, you know, Stanton and Nelson.
Stanton for sure.
Yeah, like all those guys. Like you just shorten the game. You need your starter to go 6, 7 innings,
yeah. And
that should be a wrap. So, you know, and if you have the horse, you want him to go really 7, 8 innings. That should be the case. We saw the Mets have. See, the Mets also did it in 2015. Now it's 10 years ago. But it was the offense, the Cubs offense versus the Mets' underwhelming lineup, but a loaded rotation. And the Mets swept them. Now, that was 10 years ago, and the pitching won out in that regard. However, the Cubs ended up winning the World Series a year ago, where the Mets fell apart, in part because of the fragility of that rotation, of starting pitching in general.
Yeah, I mean, listen, right there is an example of best laid plans going up in smoke.
Yeah.
You just don't know. And it's not to sidestep the conversation. We've given you a million things to think about. I love talking about that. I could do this all day. Love this stuff. But like, all right, like in my mind, I'm sitting here saying, all right, Luis Gil did this a year ago. Hey, give me 7, 8, 9, 10% more this year. What do you have? He could give you 15-20% less. He can get hurt.
Okay. So now we get down to it though. What do you trust to stay stable more or more consistent?
Well, position players are proven to, outside of Stanton.
Yeah,
well, yeah, I mean, he's less fragile with the arm.
Stanton is predictable. You know what? I mean, he's going to get hurt every year. He has.
But they haven't built as much as, yes, true, but as much as his injuries are predictable, they haven't yet built around it. Like, if you know he's going to get hurt, and he's already hurt, and I think he's going to be hurt, I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. Who's the righty DH?
Yeah, they have a problem there. That's what I'm saying.
So
yeah,
we could say that they know that he's going to get hurt, but if he don't do anything about it, what good does it know this dude to know?
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls when we come back. What do we have coming up? Oh, we'll do a little power up today, BT. We'll have some fun with the power up. That's coming up the 1 o'clock hour as well. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Before we get back to the calls here, BT, I wanted to bring something up to you. I don't know if you saw this. Remember we were talking about that plane crash the other day?
Which one? Yes, well, of
yeah,
course.
No,
Toronto,
the one that had,
Delta, yeah.
Yes, the survivors. So everybody survived on that plane. It flipped upside down.
Yes.
In Toronto. It was Delta plane.
There are some serious injuries, though. But yes, nobody perished, thank God. Yep.
So did you see what Delta is offering?
I did. I heard the morning guys talking about it this morning.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I just read the post. It's
I'll
not
go
all for that. I'm not trying to rip their segment off or anything like that.
I
legit just saw the post headline. So they were offering, I guess, all the passengers on that flight $30,000.
I saw that. I saw that.
Like, what is this, David Spade offering to find the guy who set the LA wildfires ablaze?
Yeah.
$5,000? $30,000? That's it for being on a plane that flipped upside down? Like, I mean, I take it, but 30?
Would you, though? I don't know that I would. I mean, there's a lot of variables here. And because nobody died, I don't feel terrible having the conversation.
Right.
So it depends whose fault it was. Like, if there truly was an error in protocol, well, then you could take your $30,000, stick it, and I'll try to sue you for $30
million. Well, it did say in the article that I read, I don't know if they discussed this on the morning show, I'm sure that they did, but in the article that I read, it said that it comes with no strings attached, meaning no, like you could still, I guess, get a lawyer and sue them or whatever, no strings attached, $30,000. I mean, they're basically just giving you $30,000 for free. For me, though, it's insulting and be like, $30,000, you just ruined my life.
Yeah, it's very light. It's very light.
$30,000, like you're way short.
I know. You know, and I would want to know, again, it's almost weird talking about this, but you giving me flights for life? Not that I'm necessarily racing to jump on a plane if that just happened, if we flip upside down.
Minimum, I think, God that forbid. Should be, yeah.
I would think so. Even if you just keep it domestic. I mean, I don't expect you to fly me to Italy and Australia. Well, I know, but I'm saying, like, even if they put some parameters on it, you got to come with a better package of enticement than that. $30,000, that's it.
Now, if it comes with no strings attached, it's basically, here's $30,000 for your inconvenience. I'd still be like, that's insulting, but thank you very much.
And now we'll see.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, the reason why it's fascinating is because, you know, when a plane generally crashes, there are no survivors. Generally. Right?
I mean, God forbid in the ocean or field, yes. On the runway, there's generally much more survival rate.
Sully landed in the Hudson River. Like, we saw that. But this was a
fiery
crash. A plane flipped over. I can't even imagine what those people went through.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a lot of people's worst nightmare. You know, I'm going to Disney. I'm worried. You know, I'm scared of flying anyway, as it is.
I know.
But I guess my point is that, okay, thankfully, nobody died in this thing.
Yep.
And you had the opportunity, if you're Delta in this particular case, to offer them something. Is that even remotely in the ballpark? I don't know if it's unprecedented. I don't know if it's just, here's $30,000, sue us if you want. I'm sure that you could. I don't even know if you could sue legally, how that would work. Like,
oh, you could try to pursue, you know, legal action. I don't know that there's any limits. I mean, some things might get thrown out of court immediately. Some would be civil. Some would be criminal. But, yeah, I mean, they can't prevent you from suing. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to win.
Well, if you sign something, if they, like, hey, we'll give you
unless you sign something.
Yeah, right,
like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I got you.
Some sort of waiver. Yeah.
Leave us alone. Here's $30,000.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Sal. So let's say instead of 30 is just a weird number. So, like, it doesn't look symmetrical.
100?
Like, I was going to say, like, okay, but even if it was 50, again, 30 just seems odd. Like, so let's say if it's 50, yeah, we're probably on the air saying, yeah, but you probably should offer him 100.
Well, that's,
if it's 100, we're probably saying it should be about 50 or half a mil.
For something, that's kind of the point, right? What do you think, if you were the passenger, would be enough for you to be like, wow, that's a really nice gesture? I'll tell you this. I know it's not 30.
Yeah, I know it's not 32.
I mean, I'm thinking more like a million.
I'm going to need some life changer money. I'm never going to thumb my nose at $30,000, but $30,000, I'm going to keep working.
Yeah,
For sure.
Even a million, like, you're probably going to have to keep working. I mean, it'd be nice to have that, obviously, but like,
Of course.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're going to have to keep working, but still, at least we're talking like, all right, now you're
college paid for forever. You know, you stick whatever in the 529 fund now. You know, maybe a help. Well, yeah, but a million is a million. You can do a lot with $30,000. You're not stretching it too far.
A million tax free or after tax is what I want to clear. This is what I would be telling them.
Yes.
I want a million after taxes, and I want free flights wherever I want to go, whenever I want to go for the rest of my life.
That's unrealistic.
Here's how I would tag it. I think it's the least you can do.
Yeah. Well, let's really pray we're never in this position. But
yeah, I know.
God. But if it was us. We also have the added threat of just destroying their company every day on the radio.
You can't do that.
Why not?
Gotta be careful.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, the more people here is complaining about an airline. But I'm saying, like, in that situation, I don't know. It just, thank God everybody's alive. But it's crazy. It's uncanny the amount of incidents with the airline.
It is wild. Just seeing that number, though, I was like, $30,000.
That's a weird number.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the sports talk. Peter is in Westchester. Aaron Boone got a lot more than $30,000, we assume. What's up, Peter?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Boone hater. And I'll tell you why. I don't have a problem with it. Is that I think it's because my expectation of what a manager is these days has changed from what it used to be, and I think it's because of the amount of analytics that's used. You know, it's just my feeling that you used to have a lot of, you know the X's and O's and have the in-game experience and be able to make the decision on the fly. These days, I feel like that's changed, where a lot of the decisions kind of were made prior to things happening with the analytics and all the numbers that everyone looks at and all the crunches that's going on. You know, and I don't mean it as a slap in the face to Boone, because he seems like a great coach. He seems like a player's coach and goes to bat for his guys.
Yeah, he's fiery, you know, with the umps, which I appreciate.
I think just these days, teams are looking at a manager in a different way, where they want that guy who's, I hate to say it, a yes man in a way, where they're going to follow the numbers and do what they want. You know,
Don't you think, Peter,
who are you going to get? You're going to go get another yes man.
Well, right. That's exactly right. And thank you for the call. And that's been the conversation for a while. Okay, you move on from him. They're not bringing back Buck Showalter, you know, a couple years ago when maybe that thought process was at least in. Wouldn't you think, BT, the better working environment would be? The yes man is not the right term. But somebody who's going to want to apply your philosophy.
Of course. It's called institutional or organizational harmony.
But it was not always the case. We grew up loving the Billy Martin type, the Bobby Valentine type,
LaRusso,
the Buck Showalter type.
Yeah,
LaRusso.
Yeah.
The guys who were going to, they ran the show. It was their show.
Sparky.
You trust those guys, Jim Leland.
Bobby
you trust
Cox.
Those guys more than you do the front office, you know,
yeah,
analytical.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay.
I would agree.
Now it's evolved to where there is a balance, and why not be able to strike that balance? And I think, by the way, both the Mets and Yankees have done a nice job with that.
Me too.
With the cohesion that they work, you know, the camaraderie, whatever you want to call it. You know, what's the word that they always use? They overplay it. What the two groups working together.
Compatibility?
Yeah,
collaborative?
Whatever.
Like
there you go. Collaborative.
The collaborative, for C's there.
The collaborative effort.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, obviously.
It means something.
Yeah, obviously you'd like that. It just wasn't always the case. And I think baseball has done a good job evolving to that. It does mean something.
It means a lot. And now, listen, let me give you a little bit of a different world here. So, again, and I know you dismissed this. He's not a yes man. And that's just, I know Les Kohler didn't mean it disrespectfully. He's not a yes man. I don't think anybody in baseball is a yes man. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, of course. Come on. There's a little input. Some have more than others. But even if you believe that Aaron Boone or other managers are from the yes man cloth, if you will, right? Don't you think that you having somebody that can handle the New York media, can handle the New York scrutiny, can handle the egos of a payroll of over $300 million. Like, when you manage the Yankees, and now that the Mets profile is increasing as well with Cohen, you cannot hide in anonymity. Like, you just can't do anything under the radar.
You get exposed.
You've got to comport yourself the right way. And that's a delicate balance of knowing when to light up an umpire like Boone does, which I appreciate. Sometimes it's a little bit too much, and you know I love that stuff. But at least he's fiery in that regard.
Yeah, I love that.
I do too. I love it much more than I don't. I'm never going to say don't do it ever. But I mean, sometimes a little over the top. But I do like it. I do like it. So you've got that. You've got a guy who can look into a camera and project a stability that with the Yankees is non-negotiable. The one thing you can't have if you are the manager, the owner, the GM, the star player for the Yankees is uncertainty and sloppiness. And when you have that, now you're no longer fit to be the Yankee manager. And there have been times where, me too, I've questioned some moves with Boone. I've questioned exactly how much juice he has in the collaborative sessions. I had never once questioned, does this guy have enough control of the Yankees? And that's a big part of the job in 2025.
Hector's in the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, Heck.
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
Good.
What's up, dude?
I'm a big fan, but BT, I gotta disagree with you a little bit about this whole Boone thing, man.
Okay.
And I can tell you what.
Yeah.
My thoughts, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I want to make a Grisham point when I'm done. But
Grisham, who cares about Grisham? Talk about Boone, Grisham.
All right. Jeez. So Boone, my problem with Boone is that I feel like he cost us game one of that World Series, and the year before that, he cost us some games in the playoffs as well. Like, he keeps making mistakes under pressure, which I do not appreciate. And I think we beat ourselves in that World Series, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Game one we should have had, and the game with the infamous drop ball we should have had. But I just think he makes bad decisions, man, when it comes time to, you know, when it matters.
Well, let me ask you this, Heck.
And the excuse of him being...
One sec, buddy, because I think this is a really important volley. Do you think that Aaron Boone ever underachieves with his Yankees?
I think he makes a lot of bad choices, man.
Okay, but not bad enough to underachieve, which is my point. Like, when, and I'm legitimately asking, Heck, Name the series since he took over as the manager of the Yankees where the Yankees were the better team on paper, Vegas had them as the favorites, and they emerged a loser. What series was that?
Okay, let's go back to last year's playoffs. He almost blew it against Cleveland.
Almost doesn't count. Games. He won.
Oh, come on. Yeah, but they come on.
David Johnson almost blew to the Astros and the Red Sox. He didn't. He won the World Series.
And honestly, man, I'm not going to say that just because he gets fired up and yells at umpires does not mean that he's a great manager. That doesn't make you a great manager.
I didn't say he's great. I said he's really good.
Well, what do you think, Hector? What do you think makes a great manager?
Somebody that makes proper decisions, that handles their bullpen properly. He kills the bullpen throughout the season, man.
Hector, here's the thing, and thank you for the call. A lot of that, and this is my knock on Aaron Boone, a lot of that is predetermined. All those decisions that you see, you hear him and Cashman talking about, it's why I asked him if he likes bowling when he was in here with him. They talk about the lanes. The lanes, oh, well, this is a good lane for this guy. That's all predetermined. It's all mapped out. So those decisions, now I think Boone has done a better job of going with his gut as he's grown here as a manager, starting, you know, obviously in 18, I didn't love the way that he handled things in the postseason, but each year, especially more recent years, I feel like he's gotten better. That's why I didn't even have a big problem with the decision last year, is because he went with his gut. Now, there was obviously analytics and data involved in that decision, as there's going to be,
yep.
But he didn't make the popular, safe, by the book decision that everybody says you should do.
Mm-hmm.
He went with a gut decision combined with what he felt the data and whatever showed. It blew up in his face and people got on him for it. I respect that he was able to step outside of that data-driven box and combine the two and go with his gut feel. But those decisions that you're talking about, those now are, it's also on the front office, those decisions.
I could promise you this. Now, my real, first of all, I've never been, I don't want to say I've never been a Nestor fan because I've always appreciated his journey. I've always looked at him as having average stuff. So I'm not putting him up there with Freddie Freeman. I'm just
right.
But the biggest knock, and you know, this is a big strike against Aaron Boone, one of the few from last year for me, he had no activity leading up to that. I remember hearing, I forget the exact wording, but you know, he had a good bullpen session or good throwing sessions. Like, that's not the same as having a feel for being out there with live bullets. And he was just inactive. Remember, he was hurt. He missed a lot of time. And I just cannot wedge somebody, unless it's Mariano or Goose or Chapman a couple of years ago, whatever. I can't, or obviously, you know, this year with Devin Williams, I can't just throw somebody out there who I think is an average pitcher anyway, or at least average stuff, who's also not sharp. Because if you combine average stuff with a lack of sharpness, you're begging to get hit.
I had no problem with his explanation for it. It didn't work out. It happens. I could see why people don't love the idea. You just explained it very well. Okay, it's not just that Nestor has average stuff. It's also that he hasn't pitched in a while. My thought was, well, if you're not going to go to him in that spot, why is he even on the roster?
How about if you're up 2, 3, 4, 5 runs, or you're down 2, 3, 4, 5 runs?
He's on the roster. You got to use him. And also, everybody focuses on Freeman. Boone played it out. And remember, he was saying it's about the 3-batter minimum, all that stuff. It was about Ohtani as well. His biggest mistake, not sticking with Weaver for another inning, which set everything back.
Yeah.
But that going with Ohtani, which, by the way, Cortez got out.
He did.
Everybody forgets that. He got Ohtani out. Then he intentionally walked Mookie Betts. I mean, you bring in Hill in that spot, maybe doesn't get Ohtani out. And then, Cortez hung one and laid one right over the plate, and Freddie Freeman hammered it. But it's not like Cortez came in and got lit up and was throwing strikes. He got Ohtani out. That's a tough spot, too.
Yeah, and Sal's point about, you know, you guys might not like this, but you have to understand it at this point. I mean, not everything, including the Cortez situation, but a lot of this is predetermined. And I'll give you a quick example because I know we have to break. Like, the conversations that are had behind closed doors, between whether it's, you know, the pitching coach, obviously Boone. I don't know if Cash is there. He might be. He might not be. Hey, guys, let's say we're up 2, we're up 3, middle frames, Cole to Rodon, high pitch count. Hey, guys, we're down 2, we're down 3, middle frames, low pitch count for Cole or Hill to Rodon. This guy pitched 2 days in a row. We can't go to Weaver. We can't go to this guy. Who do we have available? A lefty-righty splits. All that is on the table. So it's not like, all right, here's the first pitch of the World Series, and 19 bullet points are absolutely lined out in order. But they have sequences that they've already examined. If this happens, we will most likely do that.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Games in advance, going into each series, not just postseason. I'm talking about regular season series, those three games. That stuff is mapped out. And then you got to adjust on the fly, of course. And those are the best ones, the ones who can adjust on the fly and make the right moves as opposed to just always relying on the data. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. It's Sal back on the Fan on this Thursday afternoon now. We'll continue with the show, of course, for another hour and 10 minutes or so. We'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Couple things that I do want to get into, BT, next hour. We got to get into the Four Nations stuff. Just talk about it a little bit, gauge the interest level in tonight's big matchup with U.S.-Canada. Also, we'll power up at 120. I got to tell you, though, you know, the last couple of days we've been talking about the Disney stuff that I'm going away this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has, like, the great part about this, you do it for the daughter.
Yes.
Right? Okay, we're all about Sammy. And by the way, my wife never went when she was a kid either. So both her and
I... She never been there in her life?
No, she went in her life, but not when she was a kid.
Okay.
So we've been together, and then she went with an ex, I went with an ex. Like, we each never... Like, our parents never took us there as kids. And now we get to, as adults who have a kid, get to take our soon-to-be four-year-old there. So it's exciting, but... So I'm doing it for Sammy, and we're doing it for Sammy, but I didn't realize the trickle-down effect of the mood.
Mama happy, huh?
Very happy wife. Very happy wife lately. All the outfits, and now I'm starting to learn and be like, oh, yeah, all right. Well, you don't like that one, take it back. Oh, yeah, that fits nice. Wear that. She's very excited about
it. Ride the happy train, buddy.
Mood change
in the house.
Because
eventually pulls out of the station.
Yeah. Ride it while you can. Yeah, we can take advantage of that. I started thinking some other things in Disney. You know
what I'm saying? Let's be honest here. All right, let's just be honest. Now, how do I say this? Let's be honest, unless you have the unfortunate luck or you made the wrong decision of marrying an absolutely psychotic woman, and that's on you, most women, most sane women, don't really want that much. They really don't. They don't want to be ignored.
Right.
They want to know that, they want to be told certain things, you know. Some of them want certain things, and then some of them really, especially if you're a dad, just want to see the best version of the man that they married be the father that they always envisioned the man that they would marry would be.
So maybe a trip like this gets the...
Just further a reminder, this is why I fell in love with him, look at him doing all the things he's supposed to be doing, and now mom is happy.
Yeah, but it's very... I was like, ooh, who knew a trip to Disney can get
there
this?
You go. Yeah.
Is it
doing a little role playing with some of the costumes?
No, I like Goofy better.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. That really is. So I remember when Jen and I went before kids, we were in Epcot.
Princess Jasmine, maybe?
And at Epcot, they had Mexico. They had like the Mexican Donald Duck or the Mexican Goofy. But the one thing, and I don't know, we went shortly after COVID. What I heard, and you need to look into this is important. Because one of the great appeals, Hoff, you might actually know the answer. Jump in if you know the answer after I finish this.
I should have had Hoff on this, by the way, with all the travel. Monzo's helped me out with his rope.
I heard he's helping you out.
His rope drop travel. Yeah, it's really easy because he knows all the ins and outs. So
of course.
He's just setting everything up. Well, right.
That's what he does for a living, right? Or his wife, right?
Yeah.
That's good. Monzo hooking you up. That's good. At least, you know, getting you in the right direction. But see, when we were kids, the great appeal would be, oh, there's Minnie. There's Mickey.
Right.
Well, I'm talking like when you're 6, 7 years old. You just run like a lunatic towards Mickey and Minnie. Or there's Goofy. When we went in 2021 and 2022, so obviously still on the throes of COVID, at least in 2021, the back end, the characters were not allowed to walk around the park, even though they're costumed up, which I guess in essence is their mask. But I heard that it wasn't necessarily just a COVID thing, but it was more of a safety thing. Like people were beginning to accost and almost like attack some of the characters. So for their safety, they don't walk as freely around the park. Ah, can you contribute to that? Is that wrong? Is that right?
They definitely have security surrounding the
characters.
The characters, whether it's Mickey, Minnie, whomever it is,
I thought that most of that stuff is now set up to where, like, you have to go to specific times or places or
you
breakfasts.
Do.
You
know, certain things. You have breakfast with, like, the Snow White, we did that, or the castle.
We were going over that for the 100th time. And I did it with a smile. You'd be proud of me. I did it with a smile last night. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I told you this yesterday. and the day before, and the day before that. But sure, here's the first night, what we're going to be doing, and these are the characters they're going to be, because she wants to plan the dress out.
Of course.
My wife's getting into the wardrobe changes, and I'm like, just give me a t-shirt.
Have fun.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, fair enough. But that's what I'm saying. I'm excited.
Riding a wave of happiness.
Looking forward to it.
It's short-lived.
Who knows how many rides we'll be on down there. Hoff has some breaking news. What do you got?
Yeah, Victor Wembanyama is expected to miss the remainder of the season with a deep vein thrombosis in his right shoulder.
Wembanyama out for the year.
Wow.
I mean, the Spurs aren't any good, are they?
I mean, they're not like they were in terms of being wretched. Like, they're certainly not like they were when they were good. But, no, they're well, I mean, would they get him? He was first.
If it were leg issues, I'd be more concerned because of his body.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking that, too. Shoulder, vein?
The Spurs
circulation
right now,
thing?
The Spurs are out of the postseason. Like the Spurs stink. I mean, it's a non. Doesn't impact us here. I mean, I know Wemby's, you know.
Yeah.
I guess he figured it out after All-Star break.
Think about it. That's how the last place we saw him was at that three-point contest or whatever it was that the skills.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Chris Paul and Wemby. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. So he quit then, and now he's out for the year. They're 23-12. I mean,
what's their record again?
23-29.
What would it take to get into the play-in for 10 spot?
Right now, the Warriors are 28-27.
And the Warriors are 10?
Yeah.
10?
Yeah. Draymond Green said they're going to win the championship. Which, by the way, the way the playoffs are, who the hell knows?
They're not beating OKC.
And Jimmy Butler and, you think OKC's going all the way?
I think OKC's going to beat whomever emerged. I think they're going to win the championship.
Cavs, OKC? Or you think
they beat the Celtics. I think they beat the Cavs. I think, for some reason, I think the Cavaliers are going to represent the East.
Really?
Yeah.
Knicks, Cavs tomorrow, right? I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and then Knicks, Celtics on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think one. So we'll get a little look at where the Knicks are.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
I will be...
What am I going to be doing?
I will be
day?
Magic Kingdom.
That's right.
So I won't be watching the Knicks, Celtics.
Neither will I. I'll be doing the St. John's UConn game.
Oh, there you go.
12 noon at the Garden.
That's at 12 noon at the Garden?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I won't be watching that either. I'll be hanging out with Winnie the Pooh, I think. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. I want to get your interest level on tonight's matchup, the Four Nations, U.S., Canada. We'll continue with the calls as well, the baseball stuff. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.